This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. Chris Graham, co-host Scott German. We're going to talk UVA football. It's Friday. Tomorrow, UVA and Liberty play in the final non-conference game of the season. Kind of late for UVA to be playing a non-conference game. We know that. The last several years, UVA's played its four non-conference games in September, and then they play the rest of the conference schedule starting after that. And this year, we get Liberty in November. And so, a break from ACC action and against a team in Liberty, Scott, that, you know, at least from a statistical standpoint, puts a lot of points on the board, gives up a lot of points. So we'll see how this one goes. But what are your thoughts heading into this one? I guess it is kind of odd to see UVA playing this game this time of year.
Yeah, we talked earlier in the week, I think Monday, that I particularly didn't care for a non-conference game in this late in the season. I think especially considering the role that UVA was on and then having the disappointing loss last Friday night, you know, to me, this is going to be a real test to Coach Mendenhall to see how he can get this team up. I mean, not that they should be have to be challenged to get up, because all you got to do is look back. Well, if you play those games and scores, numbers, BMI, or excuse me, Liberty, Liberty over played ODU, beat ODU commandingly, 52-10. ODU beats Virginia Tech. So, I mean, if you just go follow that little trail, it should tell you that this could be a real struggle for Virginia football. Not only just facing kind of an unknown opponent in Liberty, but just to kind of get yourself mentally prepared, because this is one of those games you have, for Virginia, you have nothing really to gain. If they win by 40 points, everyone's going to say, well, they should have won by 40 points. But if it's a close game, or if it doesn't go the way we want it to, then it's an absolute disaster for this football team. I just don't understand the logic behind scheduling a game like this this late into the season. And Liberty, we know Liberty puts points on the board. Now, they haven't played a real demanding schedule. They haven't played a tough schedule at all, really. But so this is not going to be a typical type game that you would think, Virginia coming in facing a lower level FBS team. I think this is going to be a much closer game than what most people were anticipating.
I'll address the scheduling thing. It's as much about Liberty's schedule as it is about UVA's schedule. Liberty's an independent, and it's tough being independent. Barack Mendenhall knows how tough it is to be an independent at the FBS level, because he was the coach of BYU for so long. After they left the Mountain West, went independent again. They have to play 12 weeks a year without a conference, and so they have to find games. Obviously, you know, a lot of folks try to play their non-conference games in September, but they've got to play games in October and November against opponents who are in conferences. There are so few independent teams left in FBS football. So there's that factor from Liberty's standpoint. And I imagine, I mean, there's some, obviously UVA will play at Liberty eventually in this series. And UVA is playing Liberty like through 2035. There's a number of games scheduled between now and then. And I'm sure part of the deal, I would guess that part of the deal is, okay, we'll play 15 games, and I'm not sure, I'm just kind of pulling that number out of the hat, but we'll play 15 games, 13 of them will be in Charlottesville, 2 of them will be at Liberty. Part of that trade-off is, you know, we'll schedule some of those games outside of the September schedule. We'll play October, November games so that it accommodates your schedule. Because Liberty's also going to be playing, I think, you know, they're playing Virginia Tech, they're playing ODU, they're playing some other ACC schools as well, some of the Carolina schools. They've got to fill their schedule out. So part of that's that trade-off. So that's part of the toughness. And yeah, this Liberty team, I've broken them down a little bit. Looking at their schedule, I mean, you look at their numbers. They put up 477 yards a game, 36.9 points a game. They also give up a lot. They give up 38 points a game. They give up 543 yards a game. They gave up 777 yards last week to UMass. And yes, UMass has a football program, so that's news there too, right? But They've played three games against teams in the top 100 of the ESPN FPI, the Football Power Index, of their eight games. Liberty's 4-4 coming in. They're 1-2 in those games. They actually beat Troy, and Troy, their FPS is 84, so that's not great. But Troy beat Nebraska this year. Now Nebraska's not great, but they won at Nebraska. Troy's 7-2, and one of their losses is to Liberty. The other losses, though, for Liberty this year among their top 100s, they lost 38-14 at Army, and they also lost 47-7 at home to North Texas. So when I bring out that they've played three top 100 games, it's not like they've even played great top 100 teams. But they do have those three games against top 100 teams. And, you know, the Troy game is interesting in another respect. So they give up all these points. They give up all these yards defensively. The Troy game, they actually played good defense. They gave up 293 yards. They won 22-16. So they do have one game in them this year, the Troy game, where they beat a decent team. They beat, you know, played defense in that game. The other seven games they've played, they've not played defense. They have a good offense, but so the record is spotty, certainly, with his Liberty team. And I guess I should point out that ODU, you know, we talked about ODU and how they beat the ODU team 52-10. ODU has the win over Virginia Tech. ODU is ranked 120th in the FPI out of 129 teams. So yeah, anybody can beat you any given day. But this Liberty team does have one impressive win. That was back on October 13th, so it's been a little while. But that's kind of the breakdown, at least from a schedule standpoint, of this Liberty program.
Yeah, and if you break it down any further, I was reading some, just trying to read up on Flames a little bit. Their defensive line is really small. They're going to be outmanned about 35, 40 pounds across the line to UVA's offensive line, and that's a whopping amount of give up. So, it kind of makes you think that Virginia's game plan here is going to be pretty easy, or pretty easy to figure out. And Virginia's going to just probably try to smash them all down their throats as much as they can. But, you know, offensively, they've got playmakers. They've got a really good quarterback. He's got some good numbers in there. Wide receiver is a Biletnikoff candidate, so I think you know a little bit about that. So they've got some playmakers. They may not have enough, but they've got enough that Virginia has to be a little concerned and has got to be given some attention.
Yeah. When I looked at their roster, you talked about the quarterback, Stephen Calvert, as a 6'2", 180 pounder. So he's tall, but he's not very thick. But he's thrown for 2,528 yards, 18 touchdowns. Completion rate's a little low, 55.9%. But they throw the ball. They're a team that throws the ball downfield more. They don't throw a lot of high percent. They're not one of those West Coast offense teams that, you know, plays a short passing game. They'll throw the ball a little further downfield. So that's why the completion percentage is a little lower. His top target, and you mentioned the Biletnikoff Award. I'm a voter this year for the first time for the Biletnikoff Award, and I actually voted for Antonio Gandy Golden to be added to the list this week. Our voting was earlier this week. He's an NFL prospect, 6'4", 220. I think projects probably more at the NFL level, maybe as a receiving tight end, not necessarily a blocking tight end type guy, but a receiving tight end at that size. But at the college level, certainly 6'4", 220. I mean, he's a target. And he averages 120.6 receiving yards a game. He's had 51 catches, 844 yards, 9 touchdowns. And what he does, and with what Liberty does offensively, I expect you'll see them with a lot of 3 and 4 receiver sets. And when they're in a 3 receiver set, you'll have him on one side of the field by himself and 2 receivers on the other side. And when it's a 4 receiver set, you'll probably have trips to the one side and him by himself to the other, to make the opposing defense, in our case with the UVA defense, have to figure out, do you bracket him with an extra guy? Do you put an extra safety on top of him? And then maybe that leaves the other side, you know, you have more one-on-one coverage on the other side. Or do you go one-on-one with him and try to bracket the other side and, you know, take care of the, you know, the multiple receiver package on the other side? And either way you go, you know, you've got to make a choice, and they'll make you burn either way. They also run the ball pretty well. And this is because Now, you talked about the size on defense. They're small. Their defensive line, they're too deep. They average about 268 across their too deep on the defensive line. And you mentioned UVA size. The UVA's too deep is 305. So, I mean, yeah, UVA offensively, the game plan likely is going to be run some more until they put a safety in the box. And then we have more passing lanes. That's the pretty simple game plan that you expect UVA to follow. But they're all on offense. They've got size. Their offensive line averages is similar in size to UVA. They're a 300-pound plus average offensive line size on their two deep. And so now Virginia defensively, I mean, Virginia's defensive group, they're two deep on the defensive line, about 290 or a little bit more than 290. So, but that says, I mean, they've got their offense is built like a pretty good. They're a good FBS offensive group, is what I'll say. From a size standpoint, from a talent standpoint, their issue is defensively. But yeah, they'll be able to move the ball, against Virginia. I don't think there's any question about that. Their big question is on defense, but you will see them move the ball at least a couple times. They'll score some points against Virginia on Saturday.
Yeah, and that's what I was alluding to. There's multiple weapons there. They've got a couple of good wide receivers that Virginia's going to have to be concerned with. But I think in the end, just talent and size is going to wear down Liberty. The offensive line, you mentioned, they're pretty big, but that's not the whole story. Not only size doesn't mean all that. As far as offensive line, how mobile they are, how quick they are to react to the ball. So I think in the end, Virginia should wear them down. It'll be interesting to see how long it would take. As you said, they've got some weapons. They're not just one dimensional there. Injury-wise, it's good to see that Virginia's going to get some players back. I don't know at what speed, but Thornhill and Blunt both injured in that Pitt game are listed, I guess, at least as far as the two deep are both listed. So, it'll be interesting to see how much playing time both of those players get. But it's just nice to know that they are going to be available to suit up and play, Saturday.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I would have been – now, I'm not scared about this game because I think Virginia will wear Liberty down, especially when Liberty's on defense. And I think that, that will factor in how this game plays out when we talk about our predictions later on. But if Blunt and Thornhill weren't available for Virginia defensively this week, I would think this would be a close game because of what Liberty can do passing the ball. Virginia though defensively has played teams well that primarily throw the ball. Last week, of course, the loss to Pitt. Pitt's a running team. And also the loss earlier this season to Indiana. Indiana's a good running team. And both those games also happened in rainy conditions. So running teams in rainy conditions, Virginia's 0-2 this year. The other loss this year was to NC State, a pretty good passing team. But in that game, NC State didn't throw the ball very well. In fact, it was because NC State ran the ball well in that game is the reason that and a couple turnovers by Virginia offensively is the reason Virginia lost that game. But generally speaking, against teams that are primarily pass-first teams, the Virginia defense is really built to play those type teams well. Bronco Mendenhall brought with him the 3-3-5 defensive alignment, and that's a generalization. Sometimes you'll see two or even one guy with their hand down on the dirt on a snap, especially second and long, third and long. But generally the idea with the base defense is a nickel defense, and you've got more speed on the field as a result of having that extra defensive back out there. And that's usually Thornhill. Thornhill, they call him the Saber on Virginia 2-deep. He's effectively a hybrid linebacker safety, a speed guy playing linebacker effectively is what Thornhill is, and he's just an extra guy out there that can cover pass routes. So teams with 3 and 4 receiver groupings don't scare Virginia the way they might scare other teams, and won't have the success against Virginia they might have against other teams. But yeah, if those guys weren't available, Scott, I tell you, I'd be very frightened about what this Liberty team can do offensively because they do have that weapon in Gandy Golden. And actually two guys as well, the other side of the ball, the DJ Stubbs, BJ Farrow, both speed guys, average over 15 yards a catch. So, they can take advantage of teams who overstack the side that Gandy Golden's on, but it's huge news for Virginia that Thornhill and Blunt are available. Now, Mandy Alonzo, defensive lineman who got injured last week, not on the two deep, and Bronco Mendenhall suggested Monday that he might. Well, he didn't say he'd be out for the season, but he said it's you know, he doesn't have a return date for Mandy Alonzo. So I think there is speculation that Alonzo might be out for the season. So that hurts the depth up front. But yeah, Thornhill and Blunt are huge being back for this game.
Yeah, and you know, again, most games are won on that line, and I think that's the big key here. You know, Liberty is very vulnerable for the running game and giving up a ton of yards on the ground. So, and he's just running the ball down their throats, keeping the clock. Ultimately, you keep the Liberty defense out on the field, you know, for long periods of time, and that's not going to bode well for when this game conventionally.
And I'm sure Liberty, you know, and this is a factor of their schedule. You know, when I looked at their schedule, I was expecting to see that maybe they'd played one team, you know, a top 25 type 30 team, because of course, you know, FBS teams trying to fill their schedule, especially new FBS teams like Liberty, tend to have to play what are called guarantee games. They've not played any guarantee games this year, so they've not played a team with the talent that you'll see Virginia, especially Bryce Perkins at quarterback. They've not seen anybody at quarterback like Bryce Perkins either his throwing ability wise or his speed wise, you know, what he can do with his feet at quarterback. That'll be I'm sure a bit of a shock for Liberty when they're out there on Saturday as well. But again, offensively they can move the ball, so you know Virginia's got a little bit of a battle there certainly, as far as how that goes. So I'll throw it out there. So let's maybe turn our attention now to prognosticating this one. Virginia's a 23.5 point favorite going into this one. So from that standpoint. You know, we're Virginia fans, so of course we're going to be nervous about a game like this because ODU did beat Virginia Tech, because we've seen upsets. But Virginia is a pretty heavy favorite in this one. I'll let you go first, Scott. Your thoughts on how this one plays out?
Well, I don't know. I think instead of just predicting the score, I think I'm going to just say that Virginia will cover the 23.5 point spread. How they covered, I don't know. If they're successful in their running game and they just elect to just grind the ball out down the field, clock, you know, their moving chains eat up a lot of time, I think it could be something like a 35-7 game. If they want to mix it up and they you know, want to get the passing game involved also, you know, it might be add a little more scoring to both sides. It might be somewhere around 47-21, somewhere like that. But I don't think Virginia has any problems covering the spread on this one.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I'll give Liberty 14 points maybe in this game, just to, you know, I think in the first quarter, maybe first quarter and a half, you know, Liberty will move the ball early against this Virginia defense, just because, you know, they will. The game plan, I'm sure it'll be tough kind of getting into it for Virginia, just because of what Gandy Golden can do matchup wise. But I think Virginia will score. I think eventually they'll kind of assert their will, especially offensively and eventually defensively as well, because I like what you said, Scott, earlier about how, you know, Liberty is – they're making the transition still. They're in year two of their transition from FCS to FBS. You know, they as a result, you know, their depth isn't going to be what Virginia's depth is going to be in this game. So Virginia will wear Liberty out defensively, eventually offensively, I think, as well. And I'll give Virginia, I think I'll put down a score here on my game preview, 41-14. It'll feel closer at halftime. It'll feel like it's probably a you know, 20, maybe 17-7 or something like that at halftime. But I think Virginia will assert its will as this game goes on and pull away. But you know, you'll as a UVA fan watching this game, you'll be impressed with some of the things that Liberty can do. And of course, you know, we're going to be playing this Liberty team a lot over the next, say, 15, 17 years. I think Liberty is going to get better and better as time goes on, as they make, you know, complete the transition to 1A football, to FBS football. It's because we play them a lot over the next, you know, say, 15, 20 years, we're going to see this Liberty team, you know, just getting better and better each year. But I think here in year one, I think Virginia probably has more than enough to make this one a comfortable win for Virginia.
and I was just thinking about it today. Is this the closest distance-wise an opponent to Charlottesville will be playing? You got to consider Richmond, JMU. So I looked it up. Rand McNally Street Atlas. Mm-hmm. By that, this is not. JMU is listed as about a 3 mile closer trip to Charlottesville than Liberty. I don't understand that. I don't think it would be maybe mileage wise it is, but not time wise. So Richmond's a little farther, about 72 miles. JMU is about 62, and Lynchburg's listed as 65 miles from Charlottesville. So, but time wise, this is probably going to be one of the quickest trips an opposing team's fan base can make, which kind of the segue into my comment is, kind of wonder it's going to be a nice day in Charlottesville. I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of red in the stands, because this could be a historical, monumental win for Liberty's program, a.k.a. the ODU win over Virginia Tech, but that came at home. You let Liberty come into Charlottesville and upset the Cavaliers, and all of a sudden their growth is accelerated a couple of notches.
Well, and even, you know, even if you're a Liberty fan, of course, yeah, the Liberty fans would be driving there thinking, hey, it's our chance for our team to win a game. But it's also, for this program, I mean, having gone through the schedule, I looked at the schedule that they played this year, they've played no one better, you know, in terms of FPI at least, than Army this year. So obviously playing an ACC school and a Virginia team that's right now second place in their ACC division, the Coastal Division, this is the biggest game that Liberty's ever played. They've played FCS playoff games, but this is by far the biggest game that program's ever played in football. And so even a loss, it's still a chance to, hey, we're finally here. I mean, they've played 8 games this season as an FBS participant, but this really has to feel like, for that program, it's their first real FBS game. You're playing someone that people have heard of. You're not playing, no offense to those other schools, you're not playing North Texas, you're not playing Troy, you're not playing Army, you know, you're not playing UMass, you're playing UVA. And it's just up the road, and so it's an easy drive for a lot of those folks, and even for folks far flung who are Liberty alums. I mean, this is a coming of age moment for this Liberty program. And the other side of that is, you know, if Liberty was playing Virginia Tech as their first big FBS game, there wouldn't be tickets available because Tech sells their games out. Whereas Virginia, as we all well know and have documented and talked about on the podcast and written about, you know, we have 28,000 empties every game. So all of a sudden, you know, you have the easy availability of tickets for these folks. Yeah, tomorrow is going to be a little chilly, but it's going to be sunny in mid-40s, upper 40s. So plenty of tickets available, decent weather, and whether you expect your side to win or you just want to have the affirmation of now we're finally playing big-time football, yeah, I'd expect there to be a good group of Liberty folks there having a great time watching their team play for its first real big-time FBS game.
Yeah, you want to talk about, we talked earlier about the difficulties the team has transitioning into that FBS. Liberty, talking about how Saturday is the biggest game on their schedule so far. They won't wait long to top that, because next Saturday, Liberty plays at Auburn.
Right.
So they're jumping from the front end into the fire. Also, back to how difficult it is to schedule when you're trying to make this transition. Liberty plays New Mexico State. They've already played New Mexico State earlier this year in Las Cruces, New Mexico. They host New Mexico State later on this month. So they play New Mexico State twice in the same year. And, you know, that's just basically because of the difficulty it is to get these games. So you do what you have to do. But look for Liberty to really start making some advances. I hope it just doesn't start this Saturday.
Yeah. I don't expect it will, but I do think, I mean, because, you know, we've said this, and I guess it's worth saying here on this podcast too. I don't know if we've said this on a podcast yet. We talk about this when we're driving around to games together. But, I mean, this is the Baptist money. Jerry Falwell Sr. now, and of course, he's passed away. Jerry Falwell Jr., his successor as president of Liberty University. But Falwell Sr., way back in the day, when he started Liberty University, among the first things they did was start an athletics program. They want to be the Notre Dame of the South. They want to be the Notre Dame of Baptist schools and that kind of thing. And they don't want to just have a school with a lot of students. And, of course, Liberty is a huge school student-wise. They have a big, big student enrollment. Now, because of that, they have a good size alumni base already for being a relatively young school. But they've wanted to play serious sports, especially football, really from the outset. Remember, you know, Falwell Sr. hired Sam Rotugliano to be one of his early coaches for this program. Rotugliano was the coach of the Cleveland Browns, and he was a pretty good coach for the Cleveland Browns. That was the good years of the Cleveland Browns back in the 80s. And he hired Rotugliano to be the coach that really put this program on the map at the FBS level, the FCS level back in the, what was it, I guess the 90s to really get his program started. And so, I mean, they're serious about this. They're not messing around. And so, you know, we know that in sports, the key to success is just throwing money at it. And, this Liberty Group, making the move from FCS to FBS now, it doesn't make a lot of sense from on the field, but they don't care. They want to do it. They've gone beyond, like, for example, the folks at JMU just can't believe that Liberty's playing FBS football now. Why aren't we playing FBS football? We're the ones who win national championships. Well, Liberty has a bigger goal in mind. And, this is their first big game. You mentioned they play Auburn next week. But, this is step one for them, really. What they see as a long-term effort to be very relevant on the athletic scene, which they think will help, you know, just raise the visibility of the university overall.
Yeah, as I said, I'm okay with it as long as it doesn't happen tomorrow.
from an X and O standpoint, I don't think it's tomorrow, but it's going to be soon. When I say soon, relatively next few years. But of course I say that, and ODU, I watched ODU beat Virginia Tech, and that makes no sense either. But so stranger things certainly have happened. They've already happened this year from that standpoint. Well, Scott will be representing Augusta Free Press in the press box tomorrow in Charlottesville for that game. So he'll bring you the action live. We'll have a live blog up, and Scott can lead us through that. I'll be doing my last VMI radio broadcast of the season. I got VMI Furman tomorrow. So I miss UVA Liberty. I'll listen to the second half on the radio on my drive back, but I hope by that point that I'm only paying half attention to it, because hopefully by that point, from a fan standpoint now, Virginia's got the game in hand. But Scott will lead you through that, and then of course Sunday, this being a great time of year with football and basketball both being ongoing at the same time. Sunday we've got UVA men's basketball as the Hoos will host George Washington. That's a 2:00 tip on Sunday, so Scott and I will be together for that one. So a lot of UVA sports going on this weekend, and we won't even be there tonight. But gosh, the women, Scott, have a huge game tonight. Season opener for the Hoos, and they've got number 6 Mississippi State, last year's national runners-up. In a perfect world, we'd be there tonight too, because that's a huge tip-off for this Virginia basketball team, which of course won an NCAA tournament game last year, and with new coach Tina Thompson has high expectations going into this season. So tonight should be an interesting night for UVA fans as well.
Yeah, definitely. Golden opportunity for UVA to really make a statement right out of the, right from the very get-go. But that's going to be a tough order, because Mississippi State is definitely a great women's college basketball team. We're reading a little preview about them. They are a serious Final Four contender for this year. So Coach Thompson's got her hands full. It'll be interesting to see how well that game plays out, as well as to see what kind of attendance that the women can gain, and I hope it's a big crowd.
Yeah, so we'll have coverage of that. We'll post about that game tonight after the game's over. We'll have some coverage of that afterwards. So yeah, big UVA sports weekend coming up with women tonight, Mississippi State, the football tomorrow, Liberty, the men on Sunday with George Washington, and join us here at Augusta Free Press, and we'll have it all for you. Well, for Scott German, I'm Chris Graham signing off. Wahoo Wah.